What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
We're starting a new podcast.
This is Leonora Shelfo, and you're listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast, presented by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Instagram at Boogeyman Pod.
Yes, so if you like horror movies, scary movies.
We are both big horror fans.
Mm-hmm. Check it out on all platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Your whole life can change in an instant. About 50 million adults in the United States have chronic pain, and because of a car accident, Robbie is one of them. In their marriage vows, Robbie and Sammy promise to stand by one another and provide strength when needed. And lately, they've been facing some of their biggest challenges. Join them as they share the ups and downs of living with chronic pain.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And welcome back to the show.
Yes.
I know this show has a lot of pauses and stops and breaks, but it's really because we try to produce a great episode each time for you guys.
Yeah, and since this is more personal, real life stuff.
Yeah, life happens.
Yeah, and we don't also want to come on here and just have nothing to talk about or just
ramble,
babble about stuff.
Right.
And a lot of things happened in December, and then we were sick.
Yes.
January, February for a while.
And then we had pneumonia.
No.
Or bronchitis.
Oh, I didn't have a diagnosis. I didn't get any antibiotics, but I took time off work.
I certainly did. But I was had pretty much pneumonia / walking bronchitis. It was terrible.
Yeah, some of our other shows, there was a big gap too before we could even get back into record. So he wasn't coughing constantly, number one. And number two, for us to like go to a movie and see anything. And then we had a lot of work to do for Scaredice. Because I know I personally got behind in prep because
yes,
I was sick, and it was like a mad dash to the finish line for that one. And then I was just tired.
Yes.
We were done with it. And there's just been a lot going on. So we have updates, but we wanted to actually be able to sit down and think through the updates and everything. So,
yeah. So in this episode, we are talking about my neurospine stimulator.
Yes, because you did have the trial in
December. I did have
the
trial in December.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. I'm supposed to go see a surgeon on...
Neurosurgeon.
Neurosurgeon on May 1st about what it would be like to get a permanent one installed in me, planted in me, the way no matter how you want to say it. Mm-hmm. But the trial was so terrible.
So just because we did an episode on spinal cord stimulators a little while ago, but just for reminder, when you're doing a spinal cord stimulator, the idea is to have at least a 50% pain reduction. That's the goal. And studies show that roughly 60 to 75% of patients experience significant pain relief, which again is 50% or more at the 12-month mark after getting their spinal cord stimulator. And 90% of patients usually report being satisfied or very satisfied with the device, and 75% usually said they'd do it again as far as going through the procedure. So, and when you do a trial, about 86% of patients will usually find it successful enough to go ahead and try the permanent implant.
And that's where we're at with me. Am I brave enough to go through a permanent one? I am 50-50 on that. My pain doctor thinks I should.
Yeah.
You see Sammy roll her eyes?
Did I?
Yes. What's the eye rolling for?
Well, let's first just recap what happened with the stimulator. So the day got moved and we did Krampus Fest.
Yes.
And we were out. Krampus Fest went to like 9, I think, that night.
Yeah.
On Sunday. And Monday morning we had to be downtown Orlando at like 8.
Yes.
I think it was in the morning. Yeah. For the trial implant. So we went downtown, had that done. By all accounts, it didn't take very long.
It was like an hour, hour and a half at tops.
Yeah.
They were ready for us.
Yeah. We had a guy who was there from the company representing the implant to go over what to do with it and provide, you know, all the phone numbers for follow-up and everything. And then it was just kind of, okay, bye. We'll talk to you in a little while, or bye tomorrow. And that was...
I always feel like they're leaving me. Like they're leaving me hanging.
Well,
you know,
for the trial especially, that's the point. You're supposed to go now live your life so we can decide if this is something you should do.
I don't like that feeling. It's like when I had my neck surgery.
That's
like
a little different.
The doctor is just like, well, we'll see you later.
That was pretty terrible. No, you couldn't even walk. I mean, this you could walk. You were sore, but you could walk easily.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I go under the knife for a procedure or something like that, you can always tell how a doctor is going to be when they provide aftercare. Mm-hmm. That's how you can tell if a doctor is good or not.
And to be fair, when we started running into trouble, we saw Dr. Dixon. You saw Dr. Dixon a lot.
Yes.
So there was definitely someone there on your side.
Yeah. Dr. Dixon, my new pain doctor, is remarkable.
Yeah. Over at Orlando Health.
He's from Orlando Health. He's an osteopath. Mm-hmm. I'm biased about osteopaths because of my dad. But he's went to bat for me. The last appointment I had with him, he walks in and he's like, how do you feel about medical marijuana? Because I take a lot of pills and I need to get off some because of I don't want to damage my liver or kidneys or anything like that. So that's the next phase is I had a medical marijuana card, but it expired. So I'm looking into reinstating it.
Yeah, so we'll go through that process.
Yeah,
I have to sit on that.
And hopefully it'll work. I mean, the last time I had it, I walked into the cannabis people or distribution company, and they're like, oh, your card's not valid. Super awkward. And I was like, okay.
And but this is like 5 years ago.
Met me, like the owner. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. So he basically came up. I was actually at CVS, your CVS, and he met me in the parking lot. And he's like, this is on the house. Sorry that your card is having trouble. Which one do you like? And he just gave it to me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So
Monday he had it put in, and they said it's important that you get out and about. So you need to.
So we went to Disney World.
Yes, because I was on vacation that week. Yes. Robbie rescheduled it, and I was just like, well, I'm going to go do stuff because I take that time off
every year.
Yeah, that's kind of number one. It's some of the quieter last bit of December before everything gets crazy, just in the area with tourists and everything. And number two, it's because that's when my dad had passed away, like around that time. So I was like, just to have the time off. So, but they said, like, you need to go out and be active. So I was just like, all right, well, I guess you're going to come to Disney. And that's what we're going to do.
That was a hard trek.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was super, because I don't even have that much energy in my personal life as it is.
Yeah. Well, we weren't going to overdo it. Like,
yeah, they're
like
not going to stress me out.
No, we're doing it just like we normally would have with Robbie, you know, which is not spending the entire day there. You know, even my mom and I are just like, no, we're good. We just want to go for a couple of hours. So I'm trying to remember. I think we did the Magic Kingdom. We might have done all four parks.
That day?
That week.
Yeah, we did.
I think we went to Magic Kingdom.
We went to Studios. Because of the...
We did the Jollywood Nights, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Jollywood. We did Jollywood Night. Very fun, by the way. Very expensive, but it was a lot of fun.
I like going to dessert parties.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't converted into the whole Disney adult yet.
He's like very borderline, I would say.
But I like going to their dessert parties.
Yeah.
But they're an arm and a leg. And Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, that's cool too.
Yeah, we haven't been there in a little while, just circumstances. But yeah, we went to the Magic Kingdom. We think we probably ate at like the Grand Floridian or Steakhouse 71 or something.
Yeah, I think it was actually Steakhouse 71.
That would make sense because we hadn't been there in a while.
Into the park.
And then we went to the park for a little bit. The only time we did Hollywood Studios, I believe, was when we went to Jollywood Nights.
Yeah.
We went to the Animal Kingdom late one night.
We wanted to see the holograms for the Christmas thing.
Well, we wanted to see the marionettes and we actually missed them, but we went to dinner and then we came out. My mom had said there was like projections on the Animal Kingdom on the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
And we did catch those. Like we got to watch a couple rounds of it and that was really cool. We got some great pictures that night. And
it wasn't as busy. Like,
no, it was really a nice evening at the Animal Kingdom. We had a good time.
That's not actually my favorite part.
But I did enjoy that visit
because it's so hot.
Yeah.
That's
we went and it was cold because it was December. It was nice. And it was night and it wasn't crowded. Like
exactly. The animals were put away, I believe.
Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. But
it was great.
So, but throughout the week,
we were active.
We were, so needless to say, we didn't just do Disney, but we were out doing things, you know, pretty much every day. I think we were out doing things.
We did Krampus Fest, but
have done Loop Gardens too, maybe, because I usually do it that week, or maybe I did it after the trial.
We also did a pop-up event for Scared Eyes
was at the end. So during the week, so the idea was the trial started Monday, ended Friday.
Right.
So Friday we go in and we've got a female rep who came in because all of these companies have multiple reps in the area and you don't know who will be at what appointment.
Right. Exactly.
All week he was dealing with the guy that had set up and I can't remember his name, Daryl.
Yeah.
David. I'm sorry. I don't remember his name.
I don't know his name either.
But Robbie could like feel it, but he would call and he's just like, well, I'm not getting any relief. So they would up it. So Robbie would call him, you know, even multiple times a day to say like, well, can we just increase it? Cause you had so little time
right
to try it. And we really wanted to see if it was going to work. And then you're just like, it's just, I thought you said you could feel it like,
yeah,
in there, but you were like, it's not giving me relief.
Right.
It's not helping my pain. Your neck isn't better. That was the whole point. So we go in Friday and we actually had lunch reservations at Epcot. So, and I had made it for like hours later, right? Because I figured like, we'll give us plenty of time. We'll go to Robbie's doctor's appointment. We'll get the leads out because he'll be done with the trial. And then we can pop over and have lunch at Epcot.
One thing she's neglecting to mention is when you have a trial, you have an open like wound.
No, that's fair. Because it's like how it is.
It's a small hole, but it hurts. Like when they put it in you, you feel it. Like
so the battery pack is on the outside of you.
Right.
And that's what's powering
the device.
The device. And then, yeah, they have to put a hole into your back and to feed it up.
Right.
Now, if it's permanent,
you don't have that.
The device is inside of you, too. So they cut you open and they put the device in your back.
There's two ways you can do it. Like, yeah, you're going to cut you open either way. Mm-hmm. But a neurosurgeon is going to actually, like, lock it into place.
They're going to use paddles.
Paddles, yes.
Yeah, so Dr. Dixon said he is able to go in and just put the leads,
right,
which is just the wires.
Right.
And stick it where it needs to go. But there's a higher risk of them moving, especially given where the location is in your neck. But if you wanted something that's less likely to move, you do paddles. And that's why he got referred to a neurosurgeon, because neurosurgeons do the paddle placements.
Yes.
So Dr. Dixon is a surgeon and he can do it. But it just depends what Robbie's leaning towards. And it was kind of an agreement of, if we were to move forward, the paddles would make sense. But
with this whole thing, it was hurting me. It was still like bleeding.
Yeah. Well, the during the week you had some soreness and discomfort in your back, but it wasn't, I don't remember you complaining a lot about that, to be honest, like the Monday through Friday. I don't remember a lot of complaints there.
The worst part of it is when you do a trial like this, you can't shower.
Yeah,
you got
was tired of that.
You got a sponge bath. And mm-hmm. so when we were going into the appointment, so it's 4 days is the trial. So you get it out on Friday.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be able to take a shower and everything
super
like that.
Super excited, yeah. But
so we get to Dr. Dixon's.
And he wasn't ready for us yet. So we're just chatting with the rep.
The rep.
From the device company. And, you know, of course, she starts asking Robbie questions and he's basically like, well, you know, I don't think it really did anything. And
so this is an awkward spot. So yes. You have a rep for, let's say, I want to say Boston.
No, Boston Scientific is the second one.
What was the second one? I can't remember.
Yeah, this one, I think it was Abbott, but I can't remember.
Yes, it was Abbott.
Yeah, and this is not a bash on Abbott at all.
Not at all.
It just didn't work for Robbie.
It just didn't work for me.
Not to say it doesn't work for other people.
So Dr. Dixon comes in and he's like, how does it going? I was like, I didn't get really any relief. And he's like, okay.
Kind of frowns. Yeah. You know, like.
But Dr. Dixon is a man of a plan. He's like, I'm going to step out in the hallway and make a few calls. Can you just hang out here?
And so now we're all just sitting in there like,
okay.
Don't know what's going on. But basically we're prepping for Robbie to have everything removed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he comes back in and he's like, well, since Abbott didn't work for you, I called another rep. Since you already have the leads in you and everything like that, I called another rep to try it out. And that was Boston Scientific.
Yes.
And keep in mind, the rep for Abbott is literally in the room.
Yes.
And I was like, this is so awkward.
Yes, because he literally comes in and he's just like, the rep is on her way over here. If you want to leave and come back, we're just going to leave all the leads in place and we're just going to swap the device.
And you're just like, okay.
And then it was kind of like, everybody leave the room because now we're finished until the other rep gets here. And it was just kind of like the Abbott rep just had to fuck off because we were done with her.
So I went to another pain appointment last month and I saw that. And I was like, I wonder if she remembers us. But I was being so awkward about it. I was like, she's the girl that we like dipped out on.
Yeah, it is what it is. So we went to Starbucks and he said to come back, I think in like half an hour, maybe. I can't remember exactly how long. I wasn't too long to stay at the hospital.
She put it in me. Like her box. So they swapped out the boxes.
Yeah. So basically Robbie had to come back in. They cleaned up the area.
Right.
Removed, you know, all the tape and everything. Because I know I had complained. I said the tape was coming off all week.
Right. So they
and it was a little bit hard for me because I was trying to fix it, but it kept coming off and I was like layering tape on him to get it to stay. So she had him lay down on the table. She swapped everything. The device was slightly different. It was like, because you had the belt thing, right? For the Boston Scientific one. Didn't have like a belt with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a little bit different. And then we had to sit there with her while she programmed it with him.
That took a long time. That was like 2 hours.
We were at this appointment took 2 hours. One that we expected to be in and out within like
30 minutes, 40 minutes at tops.
Yeah, maybe 40, depending if he was behind. And so the thing that was like crazy about this one was, you know, she's like, okay, I'm going to set it and then I'm going to have you move your head. And in the first time in years, Robbie turned his head and looked at me, and we posted that video on Instagram. And
that's on Instagram.
Yeah.
That was with the trial. I was like, oh man.
Yes. Yeah. And then
when she asked me to turn my head, I was like, no.
Yeah. But she did say slowly.
Yeah. Like, she preferenced that slowly.
Don't hurt yourself. Yes. But that was the first time he had turned his head in so years. Long. Yeah. Years. And then she got everything set and they said, okay, now you'll come back Tuesday and we'll see where you are. That's what Dr. Dixon said. We'll extend it to Tuesday.
That was like soul crushing for me.
Yeah.
I was
because like, the shower thing.
Damn
and all
it.
That.
I really wanted to get a shower, but I was like, okay. Because if I would have said no, let's just get it out. They would have had to go in and put it all back in.
If you wanted to try it, yeah. Yes. So that's why it was just like it makes sense to just continue on. Now.
So during this time, I got an infection.
Well, Friday. Let's start Friday. We went over to Epcot, and we were like hustling, trying to hustle, right? Because we were late to our reservation at this
Very
point.
Late. That was
Mind you, I did reach out to Disney, and the dude in the chat was like, it doesn't matter, just show up. And I was just like, well, don't you have to like tell someone we're going to be late? He's like, no, just check in. And I was like, okay, we're just going to be like half an hour late. I think it was only half an hour at the end of the day. It wasn't too terrible. But Robbie was like moving really well through the crowds. He was just booking it. I remember sitting at lunch and you were like, just seemed like you were doing really well looking around. You kept turning your head and it seemed like it was good. Good first day with it.
And then she would slowly have me turn it up more and more and more.
Yeah, play around with it a little bit. Yeah.
But when she was setting it up, I could feel it like shock me in my fingers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, there's like tingling.
Tingling. You could feel it. And it's like if you ever stuck something in a light socket, you could feel that. That's the best way to describe it.
I don't think most that people can relate. Shock. At least I hope you can't relate to that. But
so that's the best way. Like touching a positive and negative on a battery. That's that little. But you imagine that being in your fingertips. Mm. So.
Well, Sunday we had a Scaredice pop-up event, which we were supposed to go to when he was done and didn't have the trial.
Yes.
And I was like, it's fine. I'll move everything. You just have to, you know, stand around and help sell stuff. You can sit down during the day. We'll have chairs. It's fine. Because I'm like, this is one of the things we have to do.
Right.
You have the stimulator. To me, it made sense.
Right.
But the problem.
To continue to do it because
they want to
see how you do.
Yeah, but the problem is the site did get irritated where the leads went up into his skin at that point because he'd had them in for so long. It started to get irritated and he started talking about how he was in a lot of pain, not in his neck, but in his lower back.
Right.
Where the leads were. And that started like Saturday night, I guess.
It was bleeding
Sunday.
A lot more.
Yeah, and it was starting to bleed, and I was just like, oh, my God. So
they were just like, put more tape on it, on it. Mm-hmm. But it was just kept bleeding through it. I'd have blood on my shirts and everything like that, and I'm just like, something's wrong.
Yeah, like the leads were – it was not – and I think it was just because it was in longer than it was supposed to be.
And that's no shade to Dr. Dixon.
No, because some people do trials for – I think you can do it up to 10 days or something.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not –
It was hard for me to do it.
Yeah. So Monday, if I recall, you were trying to get in. You went to see Dr. Thomas, who did help you with your pain. I remember you telling me the pain was better.
Right.
On Monday. And
then I had actually a pressure or a acupuncture appointment because I was in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I was in so much pain that like I'd walk and I would fall.
I had to help him get dressed.
And
it was terrible.
I was having back spasms and everything like that. And so Dr. Dixon was like, well, let's get you a CAT scan and an MRI.
Well, so Robbie went in Tuesday and had it removed.
Right.
And talked to Dr. Dixon. And he was saying like, my back is like really in pain and it's hurting and everything. And I think Dr. Dixon thought like, okay, we're going to remove everything and it'll calm down. But the problem was Tuesday night, you were still in pain.
Yeah.
Wednesday, you were still in pain. So we started sending messages to Dr. Dixon. And I think you went back in Wednesday, if I'm remembering right. I think I'm trying to keep the dates. So Tuesday you had it out. You talked to Dr. Dixon, but I think he thought everything was going to calm down once they had it out. It didn't. So Wednesday you end up having like an emergency appointment with him.
Yeah.
And going back in. And that was when he gave you an antibiotic.
Right.
And he said, okay, you're going to go do a full spinal CT scan, which I looked it up later. And that's what they recommend in these cases with the simulator trials, because you do have to check for infections or abnormalities along the entire spinal canal. So what he ordered was correct. But Dr. Dixon sent Robbie downstairs at the hospital. And this is me recalling what you were being told, because I was not there.
Right.
I was like trying to work and deal with worrying about you and everything.
I was with her mother and we were trying to get a CT, and they were like, well, you have to check in.
It was an MRI, wasn't it?
They could do the MRI, but the CT they couldn't do because they didn't have appointments available. It would have been like.
Or was it a full? It was just CT. Maybe it was just CT scan that he went of the whole spine. That might have been what it was. Yeah.
And he did it stat. He was like, yeah, it's a stat order, so you should be able to go to any MRI place and
get in. The thing is, at the hospital, they said, well, no, we have to have an appointment. So you can come back Thursday and Friday to do it, because that's the openings that they had. And then we tried, I think, to find somewhere else you could get into, and nobody had, like, any openings to do it. So then you talked to Dr. Dixon again on Thursday. And he was like, well, I really want you to go in and get it done. But at this point, they were saying, well, Cigna hasn't approved it.
Right.
And I was just like, well, that's a lot of, like, that's a bill. If they don't cover it, like, we're going to be stuck with, like, a big bill.
Right.
If it's not covered. And then you opted to go back in to see Dr. Thomas, if I recall, because you got a last minute appointment with him.
Right.
To see if that would help. And Dr. Thomas said you should go to the ER.
Yeah.
For this. And at that point, Dr. Dixon had honestly already told you to come back Friday morning and he was going to admit you to the hospital.
Right.
So we just kind of proactively did it Thursday.
Well, the reason why I checked into the hospital is because I kept falling down. Like, I'd really walk and then my back would spasm out and I couldn't get up. I couldn't move.
Yeah.
I could barely, like, bathe myself. And I was just like, this is not normal.
He would sit in bed and tell me that he was dying and God was punishing him. It was a lot to deal with.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you recall that.
No, yes. I am.
Mind you, like, I have to go clock into work and he's literally telling me that he's dying and this is his punishment for all the bad things that he's done.
And then Sammy's thinking, I'm just being dramatic.
I didn't say that. I know you're
I know
in
what
pain,
you're thinking.
But it's hard to sit there and have someone be like, I'm dying. I'm not going to make it. And I'm just like, I have to go to work now. Like,
well, we'll put a pin in that later.
Oh, boy. So
we go to the hospital.
Yeah. And I think we made it there by what? Like 8:30 maybe. Yeah.
They admit me into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a room till like 2:30 in the morning, 1:30, 2:30 in the morning.
I think it was, no, it was closer to like midnight, because I left because they were finally like, we're just going to admit you.
Right.
And we're still trying to get the scans done. I had to leave to get your information on how to turn off the other stimulator.
Right.
The bladder stimulator. So I had to leave to go get that. And get stuff for you, because now you were going to stay there. And I think I made it back home for the night by like 1:30 maybe.
Okay. I didn't really like my nurse. She was not too pleasant. There was one nurse that just was like very picky and bargy.
The one that, we dealt with when we were first in the room, she was
not very pleasant.
She was not personable at all. And I understand, like, you're there to do a job, but this was like beyond just being like blunt and trying to do your job. Like, she was unpleasant. I did not like her.
Message to nurses out there. Be pleasant, because people, I know you're doing your job and everything and you're doing the same thing day in and day out, but we're people. We're feelings. We're hurting. I know you're probably getting, you get yelled at for no reason because the patient is sick or hurting or whatever.
Right.
Just be kind.
But I mean, like, we weren't even like complaining or anything. It was literally like you ask her a question and then she would seem mad about it.
Yeah.
Like she was annoyed with us.
Like, I remember being like, there. And I was hungry and I was like, can I get something to eat?
Now, first of all, down in the ER right before we came upstairs, they gave Robbie a soda of some sort.
Yeah.
It's like a ginger ale or Coke or Sprite or something.
And I was like, well, when we get to my room, I'm just going to ask for like a sandwich or something. And then they were like, no, you can't have anything.
Yeah, you're on NPO, so no food. And we were just asking like, do you know who had put that in? And then she was just kind of like, they probably did it because you have a procedure or something. And we were like, well, is that on the chart? Because no one said anything to us. And I'm trying to understand, because I'm not going to leave if they're going to
like do a procedure, take
you into something. Right. And then she seemed pissed off about it. Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the doctor. And I'm just like,
then I asked to see him.
Yeah.
It took him forever.
I did try and wait for him to come.
But I was like, yeah, I want to see this guy.
Oh.
And it took him like 3-4 hours. Even
and this
to
was
come
the
by.
ER doc. So he had come. So many people. I had taken down their names. We were sitting there. So many people had come to see him in the ER. Like, we started with obviously the nurses who took us in the ER were awesome. All of the people in the ER were great. I just want to emphasize that. It was just this one nurse we didn't like. Everybody else, even the transport, he was very nice, especially when we got upstairs and the room was like mislabeled. We were going to the wrong room, whatever happened there. And
yeah, when we went to the room we were at, it didn't have a bed. And I was like, well, what about this
like
bed?
Like a problem.
And he was like, no, I need this bed.
No, that bed goes back to the ER.
The transport bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So they swapped me to another room. I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But the ER doc, he was nice, and I felt like he did, at least downstairs, he explained things well. I mean, I don't know how it was when you finally saw him, but.
He was only in there for like a minute and a half. He was just like, I put you on this because you have tests in the morning. And I was like, okay.
That's all we wanted to know, was just what was going on, because there's a difference between. Like, I think the explanation was, if they had to put you in to get a procedure done based on the scans,
right?
They wanted to just not have you on food.
Right.
Which makes sense. But, you know, all the nurse had to say was a little bit more politely, I'm not sure, you know, the doctor put that in for you. He'll be up in a little bit and he can go over it with you. But, you know, if you're not sure, if they didn't talk to you about it, it's best we just wait, because I can't change that until he approves. Like, I just feel like she could have been nicer when she was talking about it.
And at this time, they're pumping pain medication through my IV and everything like that. And I was like, when is this going to kick in? Mm-hmm. And they're putting like Dilaudid through or something like
that. I don't remember what they gave
and
you.
And I was just like, when is this going to kick in
or what? Yeah.
And, something really cool. I was admitted and Dr. Thomas came by. He was like, he came to see me in the hospital.
Yeah. So I was planning to get there around 10 a.m. on Friday, because that's when he technically had his Dr. Dixon appointment. So I'm like, okay, Dr. Dixon will probably come by roughly around that time, because Robbie's not going to be at his appointment now.
Right.
Obviously, he's not going to make it. And then, yeah. And then he's telling me it's like 8 a.m. and he's just like, yeah, Dr. Thomas is here. And I'm like,
yeah,
I haven't even taken a shower yet.
He has to do something for his kid. And he's like, aren't you there? And he was like, my door was shut to my room. And he texted me. He was like, your door's shut. I was like, come on in.
Like, I'm in here.
It's fine. Just come on in.
And yeah, that was really nice.
I just thought that was super nice of him to see how I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then didn't Dr. Dixon show up?
Dr. Dixon showed up while he was there. Mm-hmm. And turns out they had a bunch. Dr. Dixon and Dr. Thomas have a lot in common. I was like, this is how friendships start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting people together. This is what I am.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, I mean, I know Dr. Dixon wanted to get me out. If I wouldn't have been checked in the hospital, I wouldn't gotten the x-rays and CT scans.
I know. And come on now. So like, this is my thing with insurance. Like, we could have. Now, granted, you probably needed to be in the hospital because that's what got your pain under control.
Right.
But. Now they still had to pay for the scans, because now they were in hospital.
Right.
and a hospital stay. Like, now you had to pay for, like, more than you would have.
That's why I hit my deductible this year.
No, that's last year's.
Oh, that's
our deductible resets on the 1st of January.
Okay.
So we haven't met our deductible this year.
Well, we'll soon will. I can
Well, possibly.
That.
So I had pulled up information just because we were going to be talking about the trial versus the permanent placement and, you know, just what we need to look at
right
before you go see the neurosurgeon. So one of the things I think is important is the turning of your head.
Yes.
I think that's really, really, really significant in the trial. And, you know, the external lead, so we kind of talked about this. One of the problem and the big difference between the two, the trial versus the permanent one, is, again, that the leads were outside. So you moving around is going to affect them, tug at them, even with the tape and everything.
Absolutely.
And you are a sweaty person. So, I mean, that had to have probably...
Yeah.
Added to the whole thing. And I'm not saying that to be like
no, it's
weird,
it's
just, but his back, it's very sweaty and
yeah,
that's
right
where the stuff was. So I'm trying to pull up.
When you're sleeping at night, you can't get comfortable because you have a big battery pack sticking in your back.
Yeah. Like you didn't get good sleep, which added to it. I mean, you have to examine the benefits, but it is hard to look at those when you have a lot of other things going on. So the other thing to consider is that once we got your pain under control, we did the scan and checked and everything was fine. They did see a small hematoma where the leads went in, which is basically just like a blood vessel kind of like almost seems like a hemorrhoid in your back kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sort of idea. That's going to cause pain.
Right.
So which would be different again with the permanent one because you don't have stuff sticking out of you. And the pain did subside. I'm assuming you're not having...
No
back pain or spasms any longer. Like
we've
gotten past that. And let me see what else to consider. Sorry, I had
just
pulled.
Because I wanted to go to the hospital because I was falling down.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, I'd walk into the kitchen and
this was all from his lower back.
Yeah, I would fall down and I couldn't get up. I couldn't move, and I was like, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the. It was hurting, but that's what got me over the edge is I'm falling down.
So
I don't want to fall and hit my head.
Yes. So when you get the permanent surgery, it is different. So for the first couple of days, for like the first 3 days, that's when you have to spend your most time in laying down kind of recovery, right?
This
not
is
doing
surgery,
the
surgery. They
yes,
cut you open.
Cause you'll have soreness where they do the incision, you know, like where they actually put in the pack and everything.
Right.
You can't shower. Supposedly you're not going to be able to shower for at least 3 days. And then for up to 2 weeks, then you can't lift anything heavy. You're not going to be bending, twisting, all things that you couldn't do during the trial, which
right
makes sense because this is when you can affect where the leads are.
Right. Correct.
And you can usually drive, without it being an issue within the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
As long as, you know, you're not like affected by pain medicines or anything like that, which
I got you.
Yeah. You've been on pain medicine off and on. So,
right.
And then usually within 6 to 8 weeks, that's when the leads are scarred into place and stable. So most of your restrictions will be lifted, but high impact activity may still be limited for a little while.
Okay.
But that's when most of like, okay, you can go do things
okay
within 6 to 8 weeks following surgery. So that's something to keep in mind with the permanent versus the trial. And this is where I think we're having some discourse in what we're thinking. So it's not my body.
Right.
I can't tell you what to do. And I would never tell you what to do with the getting surgery. Ever. We've been down roads, right, where it's been terrible.
Yeah.
Not great. So this is something like it's at the end of the day is up to you.
I want to see what the surgeon has to say.
Well, things I'd like you to consider, and this is what is hard for me, is we spent all this time talking about this stimulator and I saw the benefit on Friday. So I'm just ignoring you shouldn't ignore it. Like, you know what I mean? You know, the pain and stuff you went through. That was a big deal. The hospitalization, that was terrible. But ignoring that point, what I'm looking at is Friday. Okay. When you had it changed, we went to Disney, and that's what I'm focused on. Cause that to me was like, this is the trial day. That was like the best day we had before you started having
issues,
the back problems.
Yeah.
Which were not really related to what we were looking at or trying to look at. And it was hard for you now to be able to discuss what's going on with your neck because of what was going on with your lower back. I was looking at that personally, and like, it was a great day, you know?
Okay.
You could turn, like we said, you could finally turn your head.
Yeah.
You were, you know, driving, and it was a lot easier for you.
Yeah.
Walking around, you seem to be doing better.
Mm-hmm.
And the point was, you always say, like, I want to do something that would help get me some semblance of my life back, some semblance of quote unquote, like normalcy, right?
Right.
And I'm like, the light is there, right? At the end of the tunnel for this. It's not, you know, 100%. Like we said, it's maybe 50% pain reduction, but that's something. That's
still something.
It's not zero. You know, even if you got 30% reduction, I mean, that's
right.
Something versus what you have now. And, you know, we've talked about your medications, you know, ideally being on less of those.
Right.
Lots of things to consider. And I saw the light on Friday.
So you were.
And then by the next week, because you had went through all this stuff, you basically were like, I'm not doing it. And that to me was just, it's hard for me to hear you be like, no, I'm just not doing it. End of story. Because of the trial.
Because I got hurt and every. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
When I know it's different, but it's still a surgery. So it's not like I want to, you know, poo-poo how you're feeling.
Right.
About all that. But for me, just sitting here with you and knowing how it could improve both of our lives.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just, it's really sucked. And I haven't really wanted to talk to you too much about it because you were so adamant about, I'm not going to do it because of what happened at the end of the trial.
Okay.
And I was just like, but there was that one day where I'm like, this is so much better than what we've been dealing with for like 6 years.
So you know? we are going to talk to a surgeon.
Which he didn't tell me he was making an appointment with them. So that was nice too.
So on May 1st, I talked to the neurosurgeon about getting this in.
And these are all things to ask him, obviously.
Yeah.
Your concerns, like, but I mean, I think Dr. Dixon even kind of said it would be different.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. It just, I don't want to do something and get in trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm looking at this is I'm just like, what happens if we do this?
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. Yeah.
But it's not a no because I think it would help me.
Yeah. Well, you obviously changed your point of view at some point because you agreed to see the neurosurgeon because the last time we really talked about it, it was probably January and you were very much like, I'm not doing it.
Even Dr. Dixon was like, you're kind of on the fence still.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I am because I felt like I've been talked into doing procedures before.
Yes.
With not knowing the full story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
So, but I'm going to see what the possibility is I'm going to end up getting the permanent placement because it did help me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure we're doing our due diligence. So we're not in a situation that we're going to be hurting from, or I'm going to be hurting from later.
Mm-hmm. No, so. I get it. Yeah. And you've been through a lot of surgeries and and all that. It is a big deal. So I understand.
Chances are if we do see the surgeon, it wouldn't be till like next year we do it because
I don't know
with the schedules we have right now.
Well, I did ask Google Gemini because
I'm going to be down for, I mean, if we do a convention,
it suggested the best time would be the summer break, late May to early July. Between Spooky Empire and Fanboy Knoxville is about 6 weeks, and he would be fully scarred in and stable. Because I did ask Google Gemini. I'm like,
that's so creepy that Google Gemini will be.
Well,
like,
I told it what events we had coming up. Yeah, like AI can be like a little bit. But to me, I was like, well, this may be helpful. And then it also suggested late summer, mid-July to late August, between Knoxville and Mad Monster is about 5.5. He would be mostly recovered, but might still need help with heavy lifting, which I cannot do.
Right.
Because I can't go to that one. And then the last option would be late October to December, because you have 90s Con in October, and then there's a 7-week gap at least before Krampus Fest.
That might be a good opportunity.
See, it was helpful. I was like, oh, that was a good share. So yeah, that's the biggest gap. And Krampus Fest is something I can certainly go to because it's local and on a Sunday. And so I can move into that if you can't really pick up things. That wouldn't be a big deal. But all of the other cons, that's the problem, is I'm not even helping move in.
Right.
And then I'm not going to Knoxville.
No.
And then I'm not helping if you do Fanboy in Orlando. I can't move in as far as I can remember. Yes. Probably the next one I help move in is Tampa Bay.
Right.
I believe. And even then it's going to be a time crunch because I think I get off work at like 4 and then we got to drive to Tampa.
Yeah.
And then move in. Those are always fun nights.
Yeah.
They're not. But yeah, that's the thing, is just because there's a gap, if you have to do self load in, it's still not.
Right.
Maybe great. But yeah, we could always consider after Halloween, essentially.
Yeah. I think that might be the best plan of attack.
Because even if we don't meet that 7 week before Krampus Fest again, I can move into Krampus Fest. Yeah. I mean, It kind of blows, but he does a lot of self-moving, so I don't complain. Like when we did Scared It. Actually, this stupid fuck, I was yelling at him. Peanut was yelling at him. Christina was yelling at him. I think Shayna was yelling at you.
For
doing too much.
Yes.
And I'm telling everybody, he had surgery. He has a like fucking thing on his back right now. I showed it to Peanut,
and they were like, wow. Because at the end of the day, I was like, we should cancel. But yes. She was like, I was adamant that we should cancel, but she was like, no, we just
And that was before he started having all the really bad back pain, because obviously if he was having that, I would have been like, well, no, we're not gonna go,
right?
We'll just lose the money. And but that was what it is.
That was a rough con,
but it started like we were already in Ocala and like he started having it, and then Sunday, I mean, you may have complained Saturday night, but I feel like I don't think you were really complaining at dinner. I think it was because we walked from the hotel to dinner, and then we walked to Publix.
Yeah.
And I don't think you would have done that. You would have been like, no, my back is hurting too much.
Right. But keep in mind, it was like a short walk.
Oh yeah. I'm not talking like we walked far. Like they were in the same plaza.
Yeah.
So I think it really, honestly, thinking back on it, was more Sunday morning. We got up and you were like, my back is hurting. Can you look at it?
Yeah.
And then I think I was like, oh, there's some blood there. I had bought new tape. Let me try and tape it up. And then we already knew you weren't going to do the move-in.
Right.
But we got in a fight, I think, Saturday afternoon, because you were starting to move stuff to the car and I yelled at you.
Yeah, because
I was trying to finish something and I was just like, now I have to stop what I'm doing because I can't count on you to just sit down. And I was like pissed at him.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're going to fuck this up. You probably did because you were doing too much. Probably is your fault.
It probably is.
I'm going to tell a surgeon that. Anyway, I think it was actually Sunday. We were already in Ocala, like day of. And I was just like, well, you can sit. I'll move in. And then I think the day was going on and you just were like,
I think we actually were like, said we were going to leave early.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just like, I need to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have a stimulator, a spinal cord stimulator, and you would like to come on the show and talk about it, let us know.
Because I'd love to hear the trial and the
I'd love to hear your
information
and how your perspective about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to come on, let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram and we'll get you on the show.
Yeah. And after we actually have our appointment, we'll do another check-in on that.
Yeah.
We still have other things planned for the show too.
Yeah. We have a whole new slate of things to record about, but we wanted to give you an update what was going on and what we were doing and why this happened. Has been such a lull.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And also we have a sponsor.
Yeah. Canvasandcrimes.com.
Canvas. I think it's just crime. I don't think there's an S, right? Canvas and crime.
Canvas and crime.
Yeah. There should be information in the show notes.
Yeah.
For the episode. But yeah, make sure you check her out. Definitely Elizabeth. Spooky stuff. Yeah. Elizabeth makes these cool little, they're like caricature kind of doll looking creatures that are serial killers, like we're based on real life serial killers.
Yeah.
And she sells prints and shot glasses and very cool stuff. It's very creative.
So go check her out.
Yeah. Make sure you check out all of her stuff. And you probably heard an ad for her at the beginning.
Yes.
Of the episode too, if you want to back it up and get some more information about her. But yeah, make sure you check that out as well.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. Mm-hmm. And we will definitely be back.
Yeah, we will talk soon. A lot going on this year. So.
And we'll see you in the next episode.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain with Robbie and Sammy. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the Limitless Podcast Network's own channel, Instagram, and all things social media. And we'll see you all real soon.
I'm Albert Parker, and I'm excited to introduce my new podcast series, Hollywood Hustle, available exclusively on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. But first, let me ask you, are you into entertainment? Movies, TV shows, theatrical releases? If you said yes, then you're going to love what we have in store. Hollywood Hustle, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network, is a unique blend of business insights, news, and entertainment. In this series, we delve into the financial underpinnings and business deals that keep Hollywood thriving. Want to understand who really runs Hollywood? Follow the money with us. We'll explore intriguing topics like the rise of the 60-second microdrama and the recent cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel Live, dissecting the business decisions behind these events. Plus, we'll tackle the current struggles of Hollywood films at the box office and what that means for the economics of the industry. If any of this piques your interest, don't miss out. Subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for early access to episodes, all ad-free. I'm Albert Parker from 1950 Studios and Limitless Broadcasting Network, and I invite you to tune in and subscribe to Hollywood Hustle now.